Now the story
of a wrestling company
who lost everything.
And the winged ring warrior
who had no choice but to keep them all together. It's a Viva Chicago!
Back by popular demand, it's Viva Chicago with me, Kevin Ford, my co-host Justin Houston, back from a vacation in Florida, which I'm very jealous of, but he came back just in the nick of time solely for the purpose of talking about Chikara's next weekend. Isn't that right, Justin?
It's true. I had another week of vacation planned, but I came back early just for this.
I'm appreciative of that, and I'm sure everybody else listening is too.
I hope they are.
Because you definitely have all these cards memorized and know what's going on. So let's talk about some Jakar, I guess, because there's a lot to talk about. Four shows this weekend.
Four shows, all taking place in parts of the United States.
The Midwest, in fact.
Specifically.
I want to say annual because they went before, but this is a big one. This is four shows, two places they've never been before. Actually, three places they've never been before. So it is, to a certain extent, a pretty big deal.
All right, I'm going to guess where the shows are taking place.
Go ahead.
Chicago?
Correct.
Minneapolis?
Correct.
Somewhere in the state of Indiana?
That is correct. Jeffersonville, Indiana, which is, as they advertise, it's close to Louisville, Kentucky. So there's that.
Okay. And I'm going to say somewhere in Ohio?
Columbus, Ohio. You are correct. Good for you.
That is because I've memorized all the shows, you see.
Exactly. So... but before we get started, I think it's important to talk about the Challenge of the Immortal standings because, Justin, we are getting very close. After this weekend is done, we will be 83 matches deep into the 90-match Challenge of the Immortals tournament, leaving 7 matches left over for November. And we're at the point now where we have teams that are mathematically eliminated from being in the finals of the tournament come the season finale.
And just to be clear, they're gone from Chikara forever, correct?
No, that is not correct at all.
Really?
They just can't win the Challenge of the Immortals tournament.
Oh, okay. And if you win the tournament, that's when you're gone from Chikara forever.
Also not correct. Can you imagine, though, if they just fired everybody who lost this tournament? They're just like, let's just expunge 36 wrestlers off our roster.
Well, they're always saying, always like, we need new people. So maybe we're just turning them over, new students coming in. I don't know.
I'll actually get to this because this is there are four shows, but they have a pretty depleted roster. But we'll get to that in just a second. Wow. So the standings as we have now, mathematically eliminated are, and this could be for various reasons. Either most of their matches are done, or other teams are just too high above the charts that even if they win all the rest of their matches, it won't mean anything. This would be the Arcane Horde, the Nightmare Warriors, the Snake Pit, and the Gentleman's Club. All are mathematically eliminated from the Challenge of the Immortals. So who does this leave? This leaves the BDK, who has 5 points. However, if they lose one match or Dasher's Dugout gets another win, they're going to be mathematically eliminated too. So I would say the BDK is pretty much good as gone after this weekend. We have the Battle Hive with 6 points, the United Nations with 7 points, the former last place Crown and Court have 8 points. The Wrecking Crew have 10 points. And in first place, Dasher's Dugout with 11 points. So the presumed finals of Dasher's Dugout and Wrecking Crew, we are still on our way there. Though who knows? Crown and Court really has a solid chance of jumping up there with those guys. So they could go from worst to first. And that would be really remarkable, all things considered.
That would be. That'd be incredible. And, you know, people are certainly going to be rooting for them. I'd say they have as good a shot at anyone. But so you said after this week's shows, that's when there's 7 matches left?
Correct. Because they're okay. Let me do a quick count. They're doing 7, 11, 14 matches between these four nights or Challenge of the Immortals matches.
Good grief.
Yes.
This is definitely what you'd call the home stretch.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because you're going to get probably at least one, maybe even two or three more teams eliminated after this weekend. Sure. Just kind of depending on where everything falls. Every team has at least one more match to go, though. Because I did them up. Four teams have two matches, and six teams have one. So we're getting real close to things getting wrapped up.
And if I can say so, this tournament has breezed by. It has not dragged on and on in any way.
No, definitely not. And but to be honest, though, I mean, there's people who just kind of like, oh, whatever, I'll pay attention when it comes to the end. Well, we're getting there. We're almost at the end. So now is going to be the time to start paying a little bit closer attention to things, I would say.
Yeah, it matters now, people like me.
Yes, exactly. Although that's not to say there wasn't some quality wrestling that we got from this tournament, which I think was kind of the point in of itself.
Yeah, I'd imagine so, because, you know, just following along has been, other than knowing how bad Crown and Court were doing, it's been pretty steady in my mind where people have been. I don't know whether the standings reflect that or not.
To imagine like real, I don't know anything about real sports, but I have to imagine it's kind of how real sports are. It's like you have the guys who are doing the best, you have the people who are doing the worst, and everybody else just kind of just muddies together in the middle.
Yes. Yeah. That can be the confusing thing about standings. I mean, I don't like baseball. I hate baseball now. I used to like baseball, but my dad died and my love for baseball went with him. So in their 162 game seasons. So anyone that's like the 10th game of the season, like this is important. Just fall off a bridge because it's not. It's so not important at all. Oh, anyone that gets to the end of the season and goes, well, we lost by one game. That game we went to on the 10th, if we'd have won that one, shut up. Shut your stupid face. It does not matter at all in the beginning stages. So even to people like me, now is the time, especially this weekend with four shows and so many matches that tons can change.
Yeah, although you, for one, need to start catching up on some of these shows for these to even begin mattering.
Yeah, I really do, honestly, because this vacation, I thought I'd get a chance to watch these past two shows, but we were just we were too involved in like doing other stuff.
What past two shows?
Ourselves, the ones not the most recent ones, the ones that were after Trios.
Yeah, those aren't out yet either.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know why it's taking so long. I'd like to watch them too, but say
wait, they're not out at all?
No, not to my knowledge.
Oh, why did I think one of them, like, or maybe both, were like already out?
Because I check like every day. I go to the events page, and usually it'll have like, you know, updated with like intro and here's all the promos and stuff like that, right? Yeah, right. Not the case.
Oh,
not at all the case.
Wow, it feels like. What's strange is that I'll get them and I'll be like, I'll like buy them and be like, did I buy those? And I'll have to go back and check. I thought I bought the two shows and just hadn't gotten around to watching them yet. So now I have to check and see if I've paid money.
Yeah,
maybe
so,
there's like a pre-order thing.
Yeah, there is. There is. Oh. So I'm actually on, we talked about the Roku channel last week and I do want to, I want to give an update for people because I was like, I don't know if you can, you know, watch down the show. So you can, because I'm on now, and they break all the shows down by seasons. First of all, if you subscribe to Chikaratopia, you get everything from 2002 through the 2014 finale is all on there now, which is pretty awesome. And if you buy, and so, you know, you'll click on something that says season 11, season 12, whatever. And then you get to season 15. And if you've bought something, then it shows up there. So like say you bought King of Trios, right? So if you go to season 15, I don't know, like, because I have all the events on this from season 15. So I don't know if it's only the ones that you buy show up, or like if I say I click on like Afternoon Delight, let's say. I don't know if I can click on that and then buy it within the app, or just says like go to chikarpro.com and buy it, or if it just is not there. So when I click, because I can see Justice is Blind in the next shows, and if I click on Justice is Blind, which is from the last September shows, the two shows after Trios, it just says, like, thanks for your pre-order. Come back and watch it later.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
But it's all there.
Yeah. I need to catch up, you know, from before. But, yeah, I really want to, you know, keep up going forward. So it's good to know
that it sounds like I did pay money for something that didn't forget. It's just not out yet. So I will definitely be watching.
Well, the good thing, too, is like you save a few bucks if you pre-order because people are like, why would I pre-order this event if it's exactly the same price? Like there's no benefit. And then Jakar was like, we hear you loud and clear. So here's like a bundle pre-order bonus. If you get both shows, you save like $4. So, okay. So you probably did that. And that would make sense. But yeah, I want to watch those shows, too. There's a title change. That's kind of a big deal.
Indeed. One we predicted.
Yeah, we did. No title matches on these shows. Oh, no, I lied. There's two, but one is not a Chikara one.
There's four shows. How's there no title matches?
I meant there's no tag title defenses. I apologize.
Oh, okay. I see.
Okay, so, well, first thing I want to point out, as I said, there's four shows, but there's a lot of people not on these shows, and it was so obvious that I actually wrote down a list, and here's people who would sadly are not going to be on any of these shows for one reason or another. No Silver Ant. Amasis, Worker Ant, Jervis Cottonbelly, Argus, The Batiri, Jaka, Max Smashmaster, Flex Rumble Crunch, Kevin Condren, and most importantly, the Swamp Monster. On wow. None of these shows.
What's the point of even covering them then, Kevin?
Because there's a lot of other people on these shows. A lot of other good people. But it just because like I was like, why are there so many singles matches on this one show? Or like, why is this really weird trios match happening? And then I go and I like catalog all the people who aren't going to be there. And I'm like, oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes you got to do that. Sometimes you got to, Chikara used to, sometimes they'd pack too many people. And, they'd actually do that in the middle of seasons. They'd like, they do shows like Dragon Guys. And like this show's like, oh, like 12 teams of 11. Then you're like, God, this is a lot of people. And then they do little shows with like 8 total wrestlers across like 9 matches. And then you're like, and I actually really always enjoyed those shows because it was such a change of pace. And they felt like some of the 05 stuff. So maybe in that regard, I've always kind of liked those shows. So there's still stuff to look forward to, even if a lot of people are out or there's a lot of singles matches.
Totally. Like, you know, they're bringing in Eric Cannon and Darren Corbin for these shows, which is awesome. I'm a big fan about those guys. Right. So let's start with the Minneapolis show. It's the first show. It's taking place this Thursday, Making a Stand. And the way I'm going to do this, Justin, is I'll talk about like the challenge of the Immortals in a cluster and then the rest of the matches on the show. But I'll talk about the two non-challenge of the Immortals matches first. One is for the first WrestlePalooza championship. It's a four-way match. Nobody from Chikara. It's just kind of a first showcase match where champion Arya Daivari defends against Cody Rice, Venom, and Wildcat. I do not know who any of those people are except for Arya Daivari, so I guess if we have to make a prediction, I guess I'd say him. There's really nothing else to add.
They sound like YouTubers.
Well, I'm also like, who in 2015 is just like, I'm Venom and Wildcat? Like, that seems like if you're going to make, like, a movie making fun of indie wrestling, like, those are the names you'd pick.
Yeah, I mean, that's why they sound like handles. They sound like, you know, like, there's a reason Jagged's not just Jagged anymore. You know? He's a person with a name, so.
Yeah, so, anyways, whatever. We also have one singles match that is for Grand Championship points. Featuring the aforementioned Eric Cannon taking on Oleg the Usurper, who neither have points, but that could be a good deal of fun. This could be like a Haas Division match in disguise, or maybe not so well disguised at all.
Yeah, I don't. Eric Cannon's one of those guys that just I don't think I appreciate it enough. Like in his when he was really doing a lot, he was in IWAMS a lot. He was in Chikara obviously a lot. And he was never my favorite guy, but something that I failed to appreciate about him, he just doesn't have bad matches. Like, he doesn't have, like I can't remember the last time he had just, like a stinker. Just a complete clunker. It's always, there's always something to kind of look at and go, man, that was awesome, or that was really good. Or
so. He's somebody who's, like, to me is, like, the king of the 3 to 3.5 star match.
Yeah, he can absolutely put on a really good match that you... That's not forgettable. That because I do it with a punch, with some spinning brain buster, or even with his little crazy legs neck breaker that he does. There's always something to remind you that match happened and was good.
Right. And yeah, and it's funny to me because like people, it's weird now going to like posting, you know, these match announcements or just seeing people talk about them and they just know Air Canada's like that Midwest guy. And people like just don't remember that he was a Young Lions Cup champion or a Tag World Grand Prix winner or one of the first members of the Kings of Wrestling, like a super important part of Chikara in its formative days.
Yeah, back when indie wrestling wasn't just a gateway, you know, when it was, you know, it was its own ending in a way. You weren't really there. There were so few indie guys getting looks that it was sort of unfathomable. And so Eric Cannon was one of those guys that you just thought, well, he'll be on the indies. You know, he's not. I can't see him going anywhere else outside of the independents. But that didn't matter because the independents were where most guys would just end. That where it would end of that era. So he got to do. You know, he was in a lot of meaningful matches and won a lot of meaningful championships and is done. Is as accomplished a wrestler that isn't as, I think, well known as he could have been.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you. I don't know if underrated is maybe the right word, but I do feel like his contributions have sadly seemed to have kind of been forgotten. And like, yeah. While people still recognize he's a good wrestler, I feel like people just kind of forget how vital he was to not only the tapestry of Chikara, but independent wrestling as a whole in the early 2000s.
Yeah, he was a wrestler that mattered, whether it was his punches or whether it was his just his uniqueness. There was a definite uniqueness to him. So it's great that he's on these shows because he can still bring it.
Definitely. Like, I remember one of the first Chikara YouTube videos I ever saw was, I want to say it was like either an anniversary or a Young Lions Cup in 06 in Barnesville, where some fans made a big brick wall for him out of like colored pencils that they wanted him to run through because he identified as a Kool-Aid man.
Right.
And that was great. And I loved that. And that set Chikara apart for me as like an interactive, fun kind of company where fans are able to do that. And there isn't two security guards that immediately grab them and pull them away.
Yeah, exactly. I remember, for whatever reason, the match I remember clearest for him, I think it was the main event of a TPI. It was him and Roderick and Loki, I feel like.
Yeah, I think that was the 06 TPI.
Yeah, it was like chop, punch, kick. And I just remember thinking this was amazing. Like, this was the coolest, just the idea of three people specializing in different kind of strikes and doing different things, and they just beat the snot out of each other. I remember thinking how cool that was at that time. And you know, something I hadn't seen before. Guys that had things that they did well. You know, everyone just punched each other, you know, in the WWE. And now I'm coming down to the indie level, and you have guys that, you know, they'll chop each other, but they don't chop as hard as this guy. You know, it's kind of a, you know, like a strong style, you know, King's Road attitude that I don't think I even knew what that was at that time.
Definitely a badge of honor.
Yeah, yeah, and it was so cool, and so it's good. I still associate him most though with Chikara just because he's been, you know, he comes back for the you know, Young Lions related stuff, wink wink, and it's just, you know, whenever they go Midwest, they manage to pull him on.
Mm-hmm. Well, the one canon member I have is King of Trios 2011 Night 2. He and Eddie Kingston had a match, which was a rematch from Anniversary 06, which was crazy in and of itself. But, well, there's two things, actually. So Young Lions Cup 4, which Eric Cannon won, he faced Danny Havoc in the first round and gave him just this gross-looking total anarchy from the top rope to the floor. Because this is still the point where they had, like, the pony ring that was really short.
Right.
With like the orange and blue, and they did it, and it just sounded so gross. That was in Reading, I think. But this one in Philly, he did it to Kingston off of the guardrail onto the floor. And someone put this clip on YouTube, and I was in the front row, and you could see me sitting next to two of my friends, and Eric Cannon hits it, and my one friend just goes, "Oh," and then claps his hand once, like for no reason. To this day, we watch it and laugh about it. He's like, "I have no idea why I just like clapped my hand one time." So I'll always remember that about Arcade. But yeah, I was, and he was wearing his Muscle Outlaws gear during that match too, which is always fun to see him bust out.
Sure.
But yeah, so happy for Eric Cannon. I actually think he's going to win. It's Minneapolis. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, no, Oleg wins.
Okay. So you're probably right, because most of the times when we're split, you usually are correct. Like, storyline sense, yeah, that makes that would be the right move to do, but I don't know. I feel like Eric Cannon should win in Minneapolis. That's just how I feel.
I think a lot of times we deviate. Your heart's in the right place. I just think critically, you know what I mean? Sure. I want Eric Cannon to win. If I was there, I'd be rooting for Eric Cannon to win. Oleg's going to destroy him.
All right, so then we have four Challenge of the Immortals matches. The first one pits two team captains against each other with Hallowicket against Jakob Hammermeyer. Prediction?
Hallowicket?
Yeah, I think the same. I was going to say, well, the Arcane Horde's already eliminated and BDK isn't, but like, whatever, man, it's Hallowicket. He's the champ. He should win.
Yeah. I don't see it leading to anything. If Jakob wins, what's the point? So, possible, but Hallowicket.
Chuck Taylor versus Frightmare.
That should be good. I knew that match was coming. I just didn't know which show.
Another Battle of Young Lions champions, actually.
I'm going to say Frightmare.
I'll say Chuck.
Oh.
Then we have two trios matches. These both sound really good. For representing the Snake Pit, we have Ophidian, Eddie Kingston, and Shenron. Representing the United Nations, we have Juan Francisco, the Proletariat Boar, and Prakash Sabar.
Ooh. Let's see. I got to count the wins that I have so far. United Nations.
Yeah, I was going to say the same, just because they're in fourth and the Snake Pit are out.
Yeah, I'd say that too. Also, that same team lost at King of Trios, so they still can't put it together.
True. And Shenron has a title match the next night, but he doesn't necessarily have to take the fall. That sounds like Ophidian's job.
It may be. Yeah, sounds right.
In fact, I'll go as far as say Coronado German suplex is Ophidian for the win.
My gosh.
Boom.
Yeah, you really went with it there. I'll say Prakash Sabar over Eddie Kingston.
Okay. Wow. All right. I would be surprised.
Come at me, bros.
Gosh, who do I love more, Prakash Sabar or Eddie Kingston?
That's a tough call for no one but you.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's ridiculous. It's Eddie Kingston for sure. another fun trios match. We have Princess Kimberly and Los Ice Creams against Mr. Touchdown, Icarus, and Heidi Loveless.
Again, I'm looking. Oh boy, I'm looking at the long road here, and I'm gonna say Heidi Loveless and Los Ice Creams.
I think you mean Kimberly and Los Ice Creams.
Kimberly. Well, who did I say? Oh, I was
said Heidi. You switched the ladies.
I did. I can't give too much away, but sure. I think it's gonna be Crown and Court.
I do too. I think that's like the Crown of Court beats the team on top and gets a point. Everyone's like, holy crap. Like, that is crazy.
Yeah.
So we'll go with that.
What happens if there's a tie?
Well, the two top teams face each other at the finale.
What if the two top teams are tied with other teams?
Well, that's interesting. Well, I guess no one has said, so I guess we're going to have to find out.
Yeah, we will find out.
What are you eating?
Tilapia and kale.
That's a lie.
I'm looking dead at it. It's kale sauteed with tomatoes and tilapia and like an Italian dressing.
Oh my gosh. All right, maybe don't chew when you're talking would be preferred.
Well, I just had the thought. I've been chewing between comments and I had a thought. I don't know how it's going to happen.
All right, well, there's only six matches on this card, so we covered them all. So plenty of room for encore matches or bonus things to be added, so we'll see. But that's making a stand in Minneapolis. So the next night, Chicago on Friday, not without my daughter. We'll cover let's cover the big stuff first. Grand Championship match, Hallowicket versus Shenron. Again, Justin, we had a difference of opinion in the Shenron-Mark Andrews match for Massachusetts. And you said Shenron, and boy, howdy, you were right. And that match versus Halluica could be really, really good. Slim odds Shenron wins the title. And that's I love Shenron, by the way. I think that guy is one PWG booking away from becoming like the next hot thing on the indies. He's that good. And I think this match with Halluica has so much promise and potential, especially in front of a super hot Chicago crowd. But I don't think Halluica is walking away titleless.
Yeah, I think he's still going to hold on to the belt. I agree. I think that Shenron is, he's got a very Jack Evans vibe to him. And not just because of the 630, but just because of kind of the looseness of his moves. Jack Evans would always do crazy things, but he'd do it like a step slower than you thought. Like just slow enough that you can see every movement. And that's kind of the way Shenron is. He'll do something.
But there's more of a crispness in Shenron than there is in Jack Evans. Like, you know, like there's those high flyers, like even like Ricochet was like this, where it's like this guy does some incredible stuff, but he needs like a trip to Japan or something to polish himself and get it all together.
Yes.
Like that's Shenron now without that trip. Like he's great.
I think he is very, very good. I think that there's still
I'm not saying he's perfect, but I'm saying I think the indies thinning out with guys going to WWE.
Did I lose you?
People will be like, where has this guy been? Why is he not? Like, why he's not in Evolve or PWG or elsewhere just confounds me.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. I thought he was in Evolve. I don't know why I thought he was in Evolve. But not Evolve. I'm thinking of Beyond.
Yeah, he isn't. He's a Beyond regular. He's on almost every show.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I was like, wait a minute. I'm not sure either. Because he has all the skills. It's just not to give too much away about. Well, I don't know if that. It probably doesn't matter. But I won't bring it up. Either way, he has a history of injury.
Oh God! Now I'm just thinking about the injury again.
Right. We won't go too detailed into that because I don't know what toes you might step on. But that's always going to be kind of a stigma. But I think that he is. I think he's phenomenally talented. And the thing is, when I say that he's like Jack Evans, I mean he doesn't have like not everything is as. He doesn't botch like Jack Evans does, but it's very loose. It's just a guy like soaring kind of gently through the air at times, and it's kind of incredible, which means he can get even better because Ricochet used to be like that, and now everything's tight. Now everything's fast. Everything is at maximum speed. That means he's only going to get better. I think he's more than capable of that. He's just doing it over and over and over again. Getting that muscle memory and then just, and then just doing it over and over again. So get him now, book him now, while he's still really, really good, because when he's great, he might be in another company. He might be in WWE and you're not going to be able to say that you had booked the guy. So do that. Cause he is very good, but he will not be beating Halluica on this occasion. No.
No, there is one thing that I think Evans and Ricochet have an advantage on Shenron, and that is the ability to take a mighty beating.
Yes, yeah, Shenron. For what makes him most exciting, I think at times is he really he stays in control of a lot of matches, and it's kind of unique for a high flyer to just Ricochet will do that too to like keep control in matches like that. Normally when I think of high flyers, I think of the guy that's beaten down. He's got to come back and do all these exciting things. I think of like Rey Mysterio essentially. But he's a guy who can keep things interesting and keep busting out amazing high flying stuff second after second. So it's going to be a really good match and an interesting kind of styles clash. I think Halloween is definitely walking away champion.
Most definitely. Now, we're talking about champions, and we have a really weird trios match here. It pits the other three champions, Chikara, that being NRG and Heidi Lovelace, against, check out this trio, Justin. It's like Blastering Massive versus Mr. Azerbaijan all over again. The other team is Blastering Massive himself, the Proletariat Boar of Moldova, and Missile Assault Man.
I mean... that screams last match booked. Well, show, you know what I mean? Like, this is all the people we had left. But, you know, still, certainly an interesting trio. That's you can say that there's a lot of strength on that team, that's for sure. Who are they facing again? I missed, kind of blinked out.
NRG and Heidi Lovelace.
Oh, okay. Gosh, I don't know what to make of that match. That's a really strange match. I'm gonna say, I'll say Heidi and NRG get the win.
And I will say Missile Assault Man pins Heidi and gets a Young Lions Cup match. A rematch, rather, of the finals from last year.
Interesting.
That is my pick. Boar's already had his chance. Blaster might be too old. So there's Missile Assault Man. Say what?
I'll tell you right now, that's a real shame that they don't have all these last shows. Did what's his name show back up? Macabella?
No. No, well, I think he's gone for good.
Really? Oh, man. Yeah, Sidney Bacabello is still around. He'd be able to forge a birth certificate for him or something.
Maybe get Barrister Evans on the phone?
Sure, yeah, if he's still alive.
It's been a while since we've seen Barrister Evans. Speaking of which, I watched Back to the Future 2 this weekend, and I was like, okay. Like, I knew they were referencing Back to the Future, but I hadn't been so long since I'd seen those movies. And then I watched those again. I'm like, okay, I see the Peck and Evans stuff in here. Like, I got it.
You hadn't got where it came from?
Well, I knew where it, like I said, you just stopped listening, apparently. I knew where it came from, but it had been so long since I'd seen Back to the Future 2. Like, we're talking, God, 15 years? So it wasn't as crystal in my head.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Oh, okay. Yeah, that was – I feel like I've seen that one as much. I feel like I had a VHS copy of that one. I've seen that one as much as the first one.
Gotcha.
The third one, however, that has been a long, long time. Maybe ever. I don't think – I think I saw it once and went, okay, well, I don't need that again. And just didn't watch the third one.
I may watch it. It's been a long time since I've seen that. I think people have different opinions on. Some people really hate 2, and some people really like 3, and vice versa. So I don't know. It seems like a thing where I don't know. People thought that they lost the sci-fi element of it by the third movie and didn't like that. I don't know. I don't really care about that stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I just remember as a kid going, that was really weird. Like with being in the Old West, my brain couldn't handle it. I remember the setup, though. The setup was really good, though. Like, how they got there to the Old West and then, you know, like, with the tombstones and stuff. That was cool stuff. So, and I know I'm going to watch it again soon. So maybe
Tombstone Pile Drivers. Gotcha.
There you go. Perfect.
Yeah. Okay, so then we have one more non-Challenge of the Immortals match. It is a four-team elimination tag team match with some of your Chikara favorites and a brand-new team. We have the Throwbacks, Los Ice Creams, Eric Cannon, Darren Corbin, and the Punk Rock All-Stars, Drake Carter and Sean Cannon, who I had never heard of them, so I looked them up, of course. And they're from Maryland Championship Wrestling, which is not that far from me. And they had one match in Excellence Pro Wrestling as well. So, I don't know. Maybe they just are going to get a shot, and that's pretty cool.
That is good. They have really generic cookie-cutter names.
Yeah, like Drake Carter and Sean Cannon is like an NXT jobber team.
Yeah, or like the real names of like rappers.
Right, but it's not like it's like you're like Punk Rock All-Stars and it's not like, you know, Mosh and Thrasher. It's right. Just like two guys' names.
Like Death Thrust or something. That's Death Thrust and like
Meat Banger.
Goldie Bagel. Like that's their name. That's a Meat Banger. That's it right there. Death Thrust and Meat Banger. Gentlemen, that's your new names. I know we just said that you can't have ridiculous names on the indies in 2015, but we have changed our minds. As long as it's specific to a tag team name and silly enough, it works.
You also just titled our show, so good job, Justin.
Perfect. We did it. All right. Anyway, I'm gonna go with boy, that's a that is a tough call. The throwbacks, I guess.
Is it weird that I think the new guys might win?
No, it's not. We're not in this scenario where everything is kind of.
Like the fact that NRG has only one pair of challengers, one of who is injured, and that these guys are like from Maryland, like it seems, doesn't it seem sort of convenient that they would be from Maryland, which is like not that far from Philly? So it's like instead of going to the Midwest and then having a Midwest team having to come for, you know, another chance to get points or even a title shot, you just have this team from Maryland come in the once and do it. I don't know.
Are you gonna have them? Are you having them win?
Yeah, I will have them win. Why not?
Are you gonna have them win? How many points?
Gosh, part of me wants to be like, ah, let's just give them three. Why not? I mean, yeah, I guess why not? You know, I mean, that would be really crazy to have them coming to beat the Ice Creams, the Throwbacks, and Cannon and Corbin. But yeah, I don't. Gosh, it's because I don't know. Like, I feel like the Throwbacks and Crown Accord are too tied into the Challenge of the Immortals things. And it can't, there's no point in giving Cannon and Corbin a point. So screw it, man. Let's say them in 3 points. What the heck? Let's go crazy.
I guess that it seems like I'm gonna go with the throwbacks winning a single point.
All right, not as crazy as me. All
Yeah,
right, so
the exact opposite.
I like what we're doing here with Challenge Immortals, where I just say a match, and then you throw me a prediction. So we're gonna keep that vibe going. This first one looks awesome. Icarus versus Eddie Kingston.
Oh boy. Oh man, oh man, oh man, oh man, oh man, oh man,
There's
oh man.
something about when you get those Gen 1ers together in a match that gets me all excited.
Yeah. Well, I've got Eddie Kingston losing to Brock Lesnar on one show, so I gotta have him winning here.
Yeah, I guess I can say Kingston versus just to keep Dasher's Dugout a little bit further behind.
Sure.
Chuck Taylor and Orange Cassidy versus Jakob Hammermeyer and Soldier Ant.
Boy.
Wait, I'm sorry.
BDK winning, right?
Are you predicting them? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying BDK's got to keep winning, right, to stay in.
Wait, but even if they lose one match this whole weekend, and you already had Hallowicked beating Jakob.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And
That was
Gentleman's
it.
Club is already out anyway.
Well, that's true, but okay, so they're already out. So I'll say Gentleman's Club win.
I'll say BDK win.
Okay.
Because I can see Orange Cassidy's like the fall guy of like life.
That's true. I think BDK is gonna be falling apart here eventually. Like Jakob is not the measured leader Aries is.
It's like him and Soldier Ant only, like fighting the rest of these matches, apparently.
Yeah.
So, then we have Juan Francisco de Coronado and Prakash Sabar against Frightmare and Blind Rage.
Oh, gosh, that's a good. Because they both kind of have fall guys to them. That's a real coin flip, but I'm gonna say, I'll say Prakash Sabar directly pins Frightmare.
I'll say Prakash Sabar directly pins Blind Rage.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, keep United, give the guys who are still in the race some points, man.
There you go.
Keep it tight till the end.
Keep it tight.
All right, so that's Chicago, and again, I think that's still only 6 matches. Yeah, so again, time for encores, bonus matches. We'll see. So then we move on to Jeffersonville, Indiana, the Saturday show called Off the Hook. And again, 3 non-tournament matches. First, we have Eric Cannon and Darren Corbin, a tag team with who will either have 0 to 3 points coming into this night, depending on how they do in Chicago. And they will be facing Lucas Calhoun and Missile Assault Man, who have 1 point to their name. And it's Calhoun's first appearance on one of these shows. So again, I hate to be that guy who says Cannon Corbin, there's no point in giving a point. But I think Battleborn getting a second point would be more interesting. Although I am interested to see how Calhoun and Cannon work together in a ring.
I'm looking. You know, this one I'm going to give to Corbin and Cannon. I think they obviously they need gotta win at some point. on this weekend. I can see them getting up a point in the tag match before falling, but that doesn't count. So I'm going to say that they get the win here.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Good. Well, this seems like a voting with your heart vote for to me.
It is. It yeah, you're right. It absolutely is. But at the same time, you don't want to have a you know a special guest lose continuously throughout the entire proceedings. And I don't. I didn't actually memorize the cards.
What?
Yeah, I was lying,
Justin.
All the cities, I guessed. All the states. When I resorted to guessing states, where they were all lucky guesses.
You disappointed me and your mother.
And I'm assuming every listener.
Well, that's been the case for every episode. That's not new.
Highly of me, they thought so much of me that I've let them down being their hero.
Yeah, sorry about that. So then we have a debut, Justin, on this show. A big debut, like one that will actually have implications that's not just like a Maryland team who may get 0 points and never be seen again.
Cassie Dolly's back?
That's not a debut. That would be like a re-debut.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. This is kind of a re-debut as well. Do you know who I'm talking about?
No, I have no idea.
Farmer Frog.
What?
Yes.
Yeah, I know so, you texted me about him, so but I didn't know this was the moment. All right.
Yeah, so Chikara 101, they maybe it's Twitter, they're like, we need a couple people on these Midwest shows. Who would you guys like to see? And I think I gave like a snarky answer, but people were like, but a lot of people said Farmer Frog. We want to see Farmer Frog debut. And Chikara listened, and here we have Farmer Frog taking on Prakash Sabar. So that's fun.
Look, at this point, Prakash Sabar is a runaway train of hype.
This is so ridiculous.
It can't be stopped. So I think it's great that we have this Farmer Frog. But I, you know, stepping in front of a train is just going to get you squashed. So, Rocket Shamar wins.
I'm going to go with Farmer Frog.
That's outrageous.
What would also be crazy is, so Farmer Frog, you remember, Justin, the, like, post-credit scene in Tomorrow Never Dies was the guy on the farm and he found a frog with a little cape on it, right?
Which was horrible. Point that out, which was absolutely atrocious in every sense. But yes, please continue.
So that was the presumed birth of the Farmer Frog, who's now here about to wrestle. Wouldn't it be something if he got 3 points and then challenged at the season finale a year after his teaser occurred?
Yeah, but why? Who? And what? For what? Like, how did this... How, but why, but who?
This is hypothetical, like, Justin. I'm just saying.
Would, but why, and where's the cape?
Well, we don't know if he doesn't have a cape.
I'm not saying he doesn't. I'm just saying I want to see it. So
well,
look out,
well,
people there.
So have you been reading results and seeing that Icarus has been trying to pick up the Hammer of Peace and he is no longer worthy?
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's like a thing that's happening right now.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I forget
that's actually interesting to me. Like, that's genuinely, I don't care if it's just a direct like ripoff of like Marvel and Mjolnir. It does not matter to me. That's amazing. Okay, continue.
So the Thunder Frog, of course, was worthy, so we'll have to see if maybe Farmer Frog will be the one to be able to pick up the Hammer of Peace again. Who knows? Who knows? But that is a storyline point we have not yet touched on that is totally worth mentioning.
That is, yeah, that really is. And it's one of those little threads that makes me excited that I'm actually like, when did this start? This started after Trios?
Yes.
Okay. All right, good. So I haven't, like, that's interesting.
You haven't missed it.
Yeah, I haven't missed that moment. Okay, good.
So you say Prakash, I say Farmer Frog. Okay, so moving on to the main event. We have ourselves a little bit of a champions versus all-stars match going on here, as we had the tag champs and the Young Lions Cup champion teaming up last show. This show, all four champions are teaming up. Hallow Wicked, NRG, and Heidi Lovelace take on Icarus, the Throwbacks, and Princess Kimberly. That could be a real hoot, and I'll be pretty upset if the champions don't all wear their red and black gear. because matching gear is easy and awesome.
Yes, I agree. It reminds me of the recent NXT show that I was able to attend, where the main event saw all the champions of NXT, the Vaughn Villains, the Bayley, the Finn Balor, team together to take on the quartet of Ty Dillinger and Blake and Murphy and the tiny one that yells a lot.
Alexa Bliss.
That's the one. It reminds me of that. So, yeah, I would expect
probably a better quality match here.
The funny thing is, it was a pretty quality match there, but it wasn't. Certainly wasn't the.
I think the All Stars team is more All Star for Chikara than it is out of Bliss, Blake Murphy, and Ty Dillinger.
Yes, the winners of the match that I saw was never in doubt, not even for a moment. But yeah, certainly in this case, it's very difficult to choose. Gosh, who I think is going to win? I am going to go challengers. I'm going to say the challengers win. I don't know with what, but I say they win.
Yeah, I agree. I think either Kimberly pins Heidi, or I think Icarus pins Hella Wicked. Because I think we might get Kimberly versus Heidi in a Young Lions Cup match at some point. One of two ways. Either she pins her and then she gets her shot, or Crowned Court could beat Dasher's Dugout in the finals of the Challenge of the Immortals, and then she challenges Heidi at the season premiere for the cup. So I think there's value in that. Same thing with Icarus. Like, if Icarus and Dasher's Dugout win... like, if they win the Challenge of the Immortals and he's pinned Hella Wicked, then he can get his instant title shot, or he could actually earn one, and we'll get to that on the next card. So I think those are the two most likely scenarios.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, so we have four Challenge of the Immortals matches on this card. So, Justin, again, throw it out. Give me your prediction.
All right.
Eddie Kingston versus Blind Rage. And again, it's like Gen 1 is going at it. I'm looking forward to that quite a bit.
They are, aren't they? You know, I often kind of forget how much Blind Rage has been active in Chikara this year. And I dismiss him when I say, oh, there's only this guy's left. And I guess when I'm referring to Eddie and Icarus and Hollow Wicked, I'm referring to the guys that have been active the entire time. Blind Rage took a very long sabbatical from wrestling, or retirement, really, from wrestling, before coming back. I got to go Eddie Kingston. Eddie Kingston in a singles match is, you know, it's pretty easy to choose him, and I'm going to go Eddie.
Ophidian and I agree, first of all. Ophidian and Shenron, Kingston's opponents, take on Drew Gulak and Orange Cassidy.
You mean his partners?
Yes, Eddie Kingston's partners in the snake pit. They take on Drew Gulak.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. So, boy, that one... It's another one that's kind of, they're all, I don't know. We'll put the snake pit. We'll Shinron and Ophidian, we'll have them get the win there.
I agree. Chuck Taylor versus Blaster McMassive.
Boy. There's another question I want to ask you, but I can't ask it, so I'm just going to assume it. And I'm going to say that Blaster McMassive wins.
I agree with you as well. And then finally, tag team action, Juan Francisco de Coronado and the Proletariat Boar versus Jakob and Soldier Ant.
Ooh,
wait a second.
Oh,
never mind. I thought they were doing two BDK versus United Nations tag matches, but then I realized, no, it's United Nations versus Nightmare Warriors the night before. And so I thought I caught an error, and I didn't. It's like Conan.
It really is. I'll go with the Nations there.
Me too. So that leads us to the final show of the weekend, Exit Strategy in Columbus, Ohio, this next Sunday. There's six singles matches here. So let's talk about the cluster first that's in the Challenge of the Immortals. Ashley Remington finally makes an appearance on this weekend of shows, and he'll be taking on Oleg the Usurper.
Boy, that should be good.
Yeah, that could be really fun.
I'll say, this is Challenge of the Immortals?
It is, yes.
Wait, who the hell is Remington with again?
The Battle Hive. So he's with Amasis, Worker Ant, and Fire Ant.
God, that's right. Oh, man. I will go with... man, that's such a tough call. Do you got any thoughts? Do you have any? Who do you have?
Remington, only because the Snake Pit, or I'm sorry, the Battle Hive is still in contention, and it's their only match of the weekend. Their only Challenge of the Immortals match of the whole weekend.
Well, maybe that's why.
And Oleg is and Arcane Horde is on the outs.
That's right, they are, aren't they? Okay, yeah, I'll have to agree for that reason. I knew I was missing something. I'm like, there's got to be some piece of information that can help me here.
Yeah, that's the only reason. Like there's. All things being equal, like that's the only like bit of string I have to grasp at to have even any sort of semblance of a reasoning behind one over the other.
Yeah.
So I got to stick with what I have. So you agree with me, Remington?
I do.
All right. Two more team captains colliding. Princess Kimberly versus Jakob Hammermeyer.
Kimberly.
Same. And then we have El Hijo del Ice Cream versus Blind Rage.
Boy. Blind Rage.
Same. It just feels weird putting one ice cream over in a singles.
I wanted to so badly. I so badly wanted to say, "Hee-ho." I can't. It can't be done.
It's funny to me too because they originally announced Gulak versus Blind Rage, and then someone on Twitter who wasn't me, I promise. Was like, you're already doing Chuck versus Frightmare. You can't do a singles match. And they were like, oh, yeah, you're right. Okay, so here's this match with Iho.
Oh, yeah, that explains it.
Hence why it's so odd.
Yeah.
And then Kimberly was already put with Jakob, so.
Yeah, nothing you can do there. So, Blind Rage. I'll say Blind Rage.
All right, then we have three singles matches, all for grand championship points. So we'll do the same thing. I'll give you a match and also give you point totals of the guys to make it maybe a little bit easier.
Okay.
So we have Icarus with 1 point against the Proletariat Boar with 0 points.
Gosh. Hang on. So Icarus would have 2 points if he won.
He would.
And the Boar would have 1 point if he won. Icarus.
Agreed. Mostly because I think there's a chance he could pin Hella Wicked, get a title shot, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, this continues that whole trend.
Dasher Hatfield versus Ophidian, both guys with 1 point.
Ooh. Dasher.
Yeah, he's just a stronger singles wrestler than Ophidian.
Yeah, and I can see it kind of leading to something. You know, he's had such good fortune with his new well-made elbow pad that I think you can bring him luck in this match too.
Yes, well-made and not cheap at all.
No, not at all. I think that, and you know, Ophidian, again, he hasn't been, you know, been around his brother-in-arms, you know, so he doesn't have the love that's so clear between Dasher and Mr. TD.
Very true. And then we have a certified Haas division battle. Eddie Kingston versus Blaster McMassive. Each guy also with 1 point. It's hard to vote against Kingston in singles matches, isn't it?
It is. And this is, we're getting down to the nitty gritty. So every, you know, when you do tournaments like this, logics of wins and losses kind of have to go out the window. It's one of the reasons I'm really...
Well, but this isn't in the tournament.
Why did I immediately think there was? That's right. This is non-tournament. Eddie Kingston. I don't bet against Eddie Kingston in non-tournament singles matches.
Correct. So we have Eddie Kingston winning 3 singles matches in a row. So could be a good weekend for the King of Diamonds, the War King, if you will.
Yeah.
And you will. And then we have the main event, which I'm super excited. They're bringing back the Golden Dreams concept. Which is to say all competitors in this match have held the Young Lions Cup at one point or another in their career. And it's a trios match this time around. On one side, you have Fire Ant making his first appearance all weekend long, Mr. Touchdown, and the current champion Heidi Lovelace taking on Hallow Wicked, Eric Cannon, and Chuck Taylor. Oh, weird, almost like a new guard versus old guard kind of vibe in this one. I mean, you have Taylor and Fire who can kind of split the difference. But either way, I really like the dynamic between these two teams. And I don't think there's been a single bad Golden Dreams match. There's been like the last one was pretty disappointing. But I mean, this has all the makings of just like a super fun, high energy match that would be like a great way to end the Midwest weekend. You know, winner is kind of dealer's choice. It could really be anybody. But I feel like it's just kind of, it's good character to have the weekend end with the good guys going out on top. So my prediction is going to be Heidi submits Chuck Taylor to the Chikara special. The current champ getting a win.
I can see that. First of all, you know, it's good to see that. I think I even brought it up, Golden Dreams, a while back, you know, wanting to see it come back. You know, I'm a little disappointed they couldn't get Max Boye, but he's probably busy. In general, I agree with you about ending a show with a, you know, a big good guys going over and feel good stuff. So, in that respect, I think that they want to surprise their fans. So I think Chuck Taylor is going to awful waffle literally everyone and pin all of them in the middle of the ring on top of each other, including his own teammates.
Including himself.
Yeah, he'll put himself on top of the pile, like laying on top, and just put his hand over his chest, and they'll count three. And that'll be it.
Justin, if you're right about this, I might just have to stop the show.
If I'm right about this, I have some sort of like latent ability to make my dreams come true.
Something like that.
And I'm going to spend the rest of my life trying to figure out how to reactivate it.
But I just feel like you'll have made the prediction of all time, and there's no point in even continuing with this podcast. There's just no point.
I guess it's true. Yeah, if exactly that happens, Viva Chikara will be no more. So if you're not a fan, you know, really hope that happens. And if you're not a fan, why are you listening all the way? Do you know how far you've gotten into this show while listening to it? That's crazy. You're crazy. But if you are a fan, you know, hope that Kevin's version happens.
Or not even, just not your version.
Yeah, any version other than, like, Chuck Taylor can use his left hand. All of that can happen to use his left hand. To pin himself, and it's still slight. It's different enough that we'll continue going. If it's his right hand, donezo.
So that's the whole weekend. Four shows, pretty good times all together.
Yeah, I think so. A lot of just weird, you know, a lot of weird matches happening because of the. Having to do, you know, challenge the Immortals. I think Hiho versus Blind Rage is one of the strangest matches to happen in recent memory. It may top.
No, hold on. You know, if you're going to say it's going to top Azerbaijan versus Blastering Massive, you're a crazy person.
I think so. It's basically a zombie fighting an ice cream.
All right, you win.
I mean, I can't sum up any other way other than.
Hey. Speaking of great predictions, did you see that Azerbaijan lost in 5 seconds to Blastering Massive?
Yeah, I feel like someone may have brought up literally that exact scenario.
Yes. You? It was indeed. And I saw that and I was just like, well, okay then. By the way, they added like four matches to both those shows and they just looked like bananas. Just like the most random shows of all time.
Yeah, yeah. I remember like after we did the shows... Like you were sending me some stuff, and I was like, "What? They added what?" And I was very surprised. What's the snowflake thing? Is that his real? Is that his name now? What's that?
I'm hoping Babs, who does the Chikara in 15, she said she was going to do a podcast, kind of explaining this. But to me, it sounds like Condren's like not Condren. Snowflake is like this internal weird character. That he's had inside him. To me, it seems like it might be his way of mocking the Chikara fans. Like it's part him snapping from all like the, you know, like killing one of the Colony Extreme Force guys and just not feeling himself. And also part like giving the Chikara what they want in this really goofy looking character. So we'll see.
Yeah, maybe when I see it, it'll make more sense. Because when you said it to me, I just thought, well, what?
Like, yeah.
Why, when?
Even I don't understand it. So
I thought it was what's his name's new gimmick?
The Snow Troll.
Snow Troll. Yeah, I went, oh, he's Snowflake now. Oh, that's adorable. And I looked closer and I was like, wait, that's Condren. What? Wait, what's happening? So I think I just sent you the word what? Like, just because I had no idea what was going down. And you basically responded, yeah, I don't really know either. So we'll have to see the way it plays out. But one thing's clear, someone like hugged Condren. And, you know, like when you give him a hug, you know, tell him it's okay, everything's going to be okay. And nuzzle him a little and then whisper in his ear, I'll never forget what you did.
Can I be the one to hug him? He's pretty.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, don't, you know, as they say in all, you know, all movies like this, don't you go falling in love now.
Okay, I won't. Cut to next scene where I'm immediately in love.
Yes. It's like Bride of Snowflake coming. Perfect.
Make no mistake about it. I probably would be the bride in this scenario.
This whole segment went to a weird. We were wrapping up. We had pretty much not alienated anyone, I don't think.
Well, this is the time to do it when it's like, if somebody's going to stop listening, then whatever.
Right. It's like the scragglers are left listening. Like everyone else has gotten the information they need. They've gotten their fix. But they're the few people still listening, the devoted fans. Who's the guy on Twitter that is constantly, that always sends and always supports the show? I'm on my phone, so I can't.
Oh, yeah. Like Blue Mysterio, I believe his name is.
Yeah. He's amazing.
Yeah, he's great.
So I'm going to shout him out specifically because he's always plugging the show and he'll like send random stuff. He's the entire segment, this last segment, is devoted to him and people like him. Or her.
Well, I also want to give a shout out to Babs, who does Chikara in 15 and lots of other Chikara stuff. She said, I think she tweeted Chikara special, so I don't know if you saw it, but she said that our show was so good that it's worth paying for. Like if it were behind a paywall, she would pay for it.
Did she specify how much money?
No, she didn't. That's criminal. She's trying to do great things like we are, just spreading the word of Chikara. So I would feel bad taking her money. Although she wants to PayPal, no, I'm just joking.
Yeah, I guess we're thanking people that support the show. Eddie Kingston, also, he really supports Chikara Special, and does the Lord's work retweeting.
Which so, is great, because then I get Mia Yim to retweet it too.
It's been fantastic. Yeah, it's been fantastic. To be honest, that's been great too. A lot of things in wrestling I only know about because Eddie Kingston retweeted them.
He's so, like the guy you want on your roster because he'll tweet or retweet every match announcement. He'll put out all your YouTube videos. He is like he is a team player, and I wish every indie wrestler was like him.
Yeah, and also again he has retweeted our show numerous occasions just in the course of tweeting things from the Chikara special.
It might be just because my show was called Full Chub.
You know, it was the first one I noticed specifically that was retweeted, so that works out. And if it's just a weird name to get the retweet, I think we're going to pull it off again.
So, you mean, yeah, Death Thrust and Meat Banger might be good enough. We'll see.
And speaking of Twitter, I'm at Justin J. Houston. That's where I tweet, so if you want to tweet comments or get mentioned on the show, I don't know why you'd want to, but we'll do that. If you send something and say, hi, I'm a human, or not, I'll mention you on the show. I don't care.
I've considered, like, if gauging interest, see if people are interested in you and I doing, like, a mailbag for this show. They could send in questions about your car or anything else. I felt like this show would have been a bad one to do because we're just so loaded with the four shows. Yeah. But like next month, probably going to be pretty light with just the two Pennsylvania shows. So maybe people want to either tweet us questions or tweet them at Chikara Special or email the Chikara Special at gmail.com. Perhaps we can answer some stuff, even if it's just like opinions on Chikara, just questions, or maybe not even related to Chikara. We take them.
Yeah, I don't care. I'll answer. You got something going on in your personal life? Need some advice? I can use some unsolicited advice. I don't care. You know, you having some trouble with a neighbor? and you're just looking to you know, you got a noisy neighbor and you're looking to get rid of him, have a foolproof way that involves a live chicken. So, you know, just ask. I'm here to help. I'm at Justin J. Houston. He's at K413. That's all I have to plug, but he has other actual things to plug.
Yeah, well, you'd mentioned at Chikara Special, my Twitter account, which is pretty much a hub for all the other Chikara stuff I do. I run a Tumblr, chikaraspecial.tumblr.com, where any bit of Chikara news, official and oftentimes unofficial, whether it be match announcements, YouTube videos, blogs, or even just other things that people do, podcasts, whatever else, put it all there. And then there's also my review page, chikaraspecial.wordpress.com. Whenever a new review is published, it is tweeted out as well. I have just finally finished reviewing all three nights of King of Trios 2015. I wanted a little bit of a buffer zone between watching it live and watching it on tape so it could be a little more fresh, and I didn't want to burn myself out on it. But they're all there, all three nights, so go read, enjoy, leave feedback if you wish. That'd be really great. And there will, the other two shows, the Gibsonville and Norfolk shows, will hopefully be out soon enough that I can go ahead and review and put those up. That would be lovely. Chikara, wink, wink, hint, hint. And yeah, go to pwponderings.com. That's how you're able to enjoy this podcast right now. And if you're on iTunes, leave reviews and whatnot. And yeah, we should also have results of all four nights, I would hope, at pwponderings.com. So if you're just like, what happened on these shows? I can't go. Go to pwponderings.com. I bet we'll have results for every single night. And that's how you do it. Justin, thanks for doing this with me, man.
Yes, it is always a pleasure. I didn't really have a second week of vacation. I took my week of vacation and was, I'm glad I was able to.
Oh, hey, you know, let me ask you a question, because we're going to be back doing this in 2 weeks for the Reading and Philly shows, the final Challenge of the Immortals matches. But by that time, Halloween will have passed. What is your daughter going for Halloween this year?
She is going as a snow queen.
Not snowflake.
No, she's going as a generic snow queen. We were baffled by the choice. Because we thought it'd be like a character, or she went through a lot of them. She liked the idea of being Green Ant, because I got her Green Ant mask, and now Green Ant's no more. So I told her, which made her sad.
Didn't she say, I'm Green Ant now?
Yeah, oh, I said that. I said, well, now you're Green Ant. And her eyes lit up. She went, yes, this is a calling. And so she went through some other ones that she had some ideas for. Some were elaborate. Some were just like, a princess. And we're like, all right, okay. I guess myself and my girlfriend have to work on Saturdays. So we drop her off at her grandmother's and would say love having her, and they always take her to do like great stuff. They took her to a costume shop and just said, what looks good to you? And she just chose like Snow Queen.
Is Snow Queen like somebody's way of getting away with selling an unofficial Frozen costume?
No, it's not even, no, it's just like a white, if you were to design a Snow Queen, you'd just be like, oh, I like a white dress. And like some, you know, like a belt, and then like a scepter where you're like, nah, yeah, that. And it's adorable looking. I mean, it's definitely, I can see why she chose it. But it's going to get dirty, and it's not going to be one of the ones when she's like 15 years from now going, well, I remember that costume. Like, yeah, boy, that really, it's going to be one of those ones that get kind of like, what? Why did I do that? You know, and you try to not protect your kid, but you try to set them up so that they're like 10 years from now, they have a good story to tell, you know, or they got to be like, when she was Princess Bubblegum, I kind of guided her a little bit. She was between that and like a pirate or something. And I was like, 10 years from now, when you start enjoying Adventure Time again, like when you go back to the show, when you're older, you're going to want to be able to look back and say, and like show to people, you were Princess Bubblegum when you were a kid. In my head, I said that. What I really said was, ooh, look, a princess. And she chose that.
Fair enough. Well, you saying you're working kind of answers my next question. I was going to say, do you dress up when you take her out? But if you work Saturday and Halloween's on Saturday, that's not going to happen. Unless you're planning on just dressing up to go to work. I'm not a costume guy, so I don't dress up for anything like this.
Yeah, I mean, I've dressed up, I do a lot of weird stuff. when I dress up, it was mostly for like adult Halloween parties.
Well, I also know like being a parent is kind of different because like if you know if your kid's like I'm gonna go as Batman and you're like okay I'll dress as you know another superhero to take you out or something.
No, we don't do like tandem costumes. Okay. I once went to a Suicide Girls burlesque show dressed as a Catholic priest. So that was neat. That was fun times. I have gone to a party dressed as, I dressed in a really nice, suit, like my nicest suit. And I was the president, but I had a red dot on my head. So I was the president moments before he was assassinated. So I spent the whole evening basically saying that nothing bad was going to happen to me and everything was just fine. And like most people didn't get it, but every once in a while you get someone who got it and would just laugh hysterically and I'd be like, all right, I got that guy. I guess that's fine. Otherwise, terrible idea.
That sounds like a Jim from The Office kind of costume.
Yeah, it was, it did not go over well. But costumes, you know, actually it worked. Like 2 or 3 years ago, I went as like a Star Trek. I wore like a Star Trek shirt and like black pants. I think it was a red shirt. No. I was maybe I was in Captain Gold. I'm not sure. Or Command Gold. Captain would be. He wore like green or something. Either way, I wore a Star Trek shirt, and that's the last time I think I dressed up at all. I don't even know if I'm going to go trick or treating with her because the Florida Georgia football game is on, and I can already feel the sniffles. I'm like, I don't know if I can walk, you know, all that way, you know, in that weather because football.
And I know you don't want to miss the Florida-Georgia Lion concert, so that makes sense.
Football game, sir. That's outrageous.
And, gross.
My football team was doing really well this year, and then like I went to see my grandparents, and it was going amazing. We were supposed to be terrible. We're awesome and undefeated. And then I left to go on vacation. And in that time period, our starting quarterback got busted for using steroids.
Oh, no. What a tragedy.
And then we lost. So we're not undefeated anymore.
Oh no! What are you going to do? How are you going to live with yourself?
Like, we were kind of like, "Huh? We're in very different places, our team, in the 1 week since we've seen one another." So it went from amazing and surprising to disastrous and disappointing very quickly. But that's sports. That's how that works.
Well, that's how this podcast went, apparently.
Yeah. I suppose so, Kevin, hater of all things sports.
That's true. I did go as Dasher Hatfield the last time I dressed up for Halloween.
Mask and everything?
Yeah, because it was my senior year of college, and I went to the Cybernetico 2 weeks before, the one that Carpenter Ant won. And oh. Dasher was like brand spanking new then, and they just put out his mask, and I was like, I got to get this. And so I at that time I had an Orioles t-shirt, which I think I ran ragged and just had to eventually throw out. But I just put that on, some like white sweatpants, pulled up some socks over them, black shoes, and I borrowed like a baseball bat from a friend. And I think I borrowed my roommate's because my roommate was an Orioles fan, so I borrowed his hat and I wore that. So it was just like, oh, I'm a baseball guy, but like my few friends who knew were like, that's awesome. Well, everyone thought it was awesome because they just thought the mask was cool, like even if they didn't know who Dasher was.
Right.
And I went to a friend's party. He was in a fraternity, so it was in part of their fraternity's basement. I wasn't there that long because it was not fun at all. But I went just because he was like, hey, come. And I was like, okay. And there was a black light on, and my mask apparently looked super cool under the black light. So, you know, that was fun just to go as that. And yeah, so that was like the last time I like dressed up and like actively wanted to be something. And yeah,
that's the thing. I haven't wanted to be like 2 years ago, I had like shoulder length hair, you know, the beard was kind of out of control then. It's still pretty big, but I keep it trimmed now.
Let me guess, Bray Wyatt.
No. That'd been interesting. No, I had a lot of people saying, boy, you'd be perfect as one of those Duck Dynasty guys. And I thought,
so Bray Wyatt.
That's easy. That's really easy. That's camo. But two things occurred to me. One, I don't have camo. I don't have anything camouflage. And two, fuck those guys. So...
more importantly, fuck those guys.
Yeah, that's I was like, oh no, I don't want to be one of them. I mean, the only way I would do it is if it was like, if I just sort of spouted atheist nonsense the entire time. And I'm not like atheism, you know. It's not really, it's not, religion's just not important to me. So, but just for the character, the idea of the atheist Duck Dynasty.
Right, I got you.
Yeah. Was kind of appealing, but at the same time, I just thought, boy, that's a lot of energy to hate on people that are already just the worst. So, and I'm in the South. They don't have many enemies in the South. More people like them than will like me. So,
or a sense of humor.
Yeah, know your crowd. And the crowd would turn on me for making fun of Duck Dynasty.
Well, that's enough Halloween talk and other Chikara talk. So thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll don't be sad. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Original Fire Rangers.
My fire's burning bright. Hunting faces in the night.